And we are back with another edition of the Brother and Sister Rewatch Podcast. And this week is not, it's not going to be led by me. It's going to be led by the Mare Bear, right?
What up, everybody?
And we're going to be talking here on episode 101.
Yeah.
Crazy to think about. Pee-wee's Big Holiday from 2016.
Yes. So this is a little bit of a change of pace because this is one that neither of us has ever seen.
Yeah, usually the thing is, you know, with a rewatch.
Yeah.
One of us at least has seen it and has, you know, proffered it up for the other to watch.
This one just piqued my interest. So I was going through Netflix and I was like, wait a second. I didn't even know Paul Reubens had a career.
Like, a lot of people don't seem to think that. No.
But then I went through Netflix, like, because I went to look at the cast and I accidentally just clicked on his name. He has, like, four movies on Netflix. He does, like,
were
the
Smurfs.
No, it was, like, the Smurfs, fucking, like, some kind of Minecraft or Lego movie.
Batman Returns.
I don't know.
He's in Batman.
Oh, well, yeah.
Him and Simone.
But is that even on Netflix?
No, I have it on DVD. Because we might watch that one day down the road. Not yet, but...
But, so it was just...
And this is basically, because we've both seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Great film.
One of my favorite movies as a kid.
Not a movie, a film.
A film. It is. It's a picture. A moving picture. And, like, this is such... It's like a redux of that. It's like a more... contemporary, like, up-to-date
but everything's still set in the 50s.
Yeah, I know. Oh my god. It's like Pleasantville.
Which we'll discuss,
yeah, it's crazy. And, like, just the cameos and the people. Like, I was shocked to see some of the names, like, in the opening credits.
Yeah.
And then to see certain faces pop up, I'm like, that guy, or that gal.
Oh, it's that lady.
Yeah, like, a lot of that. And, but I'll let you know, like I said, this is your episode.
Yes. All right, guys, so we are watching Pee-wee's Big Holiday from 2016. It's a Netflix original movie starring Paul Reubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee, Joe Manganiello.
You're doing the Pee-wee now. Hey, Manganiello!
Manganiello. Jessica Pauly?
Yeah, I guess that's how you say it.
Those were the only names of note.
Stephanie Beatriz. Okay.
Which one did
the
she
look
play?
You just gave me. She was Freckles.
Oh, okay.
She is one of my favorites. She was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh, see, I didn't watch that.
Completely different voice. Because on Nine-Nine, she's like the dark hair. She always wears black. She's like,
oh,
I'm Rosa Diaz.
Oh,
and
my
like
God.
In this, she's like, oh, my God.
She's like, I'm Freckles, motherfucker.
She's got the high voice and everything.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah.
So this was actually written by Paul Reubens and a man named Paul Rust. It's rated
Paul Rust
PG.
Is in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's the weird dude with the nose in the diner.
Oh.
A very ugly guy. Kind of hot, bird-like features.
I recognized him. He was like, he's like a dad on a sitcom.
He looks like he's been in a lot of things. Yeah. He's got one of those faces. Yeah.
It's rated PG, and it's a Judd Apatow / Paul Reubens production.
Very nice.
So, guys, just to give you a little background on why I didn't think Paul Reubens had a career. Where, in case you never heard of Pee-wee's Big Conviction.
That was good. I didn't know that was coming.
Thank you.
Shit.
In 1991, he was actually arrested for indecent exposure at a Florida adult theater, but he pled no contest.
Yeah.
So, you know, that kind of just went away.
But that's weird. Cause, like, it's just weird to put yourself in that mind for, like, the early 90s
mm-hmm.
when you would have to go to an adult. Like,
yeah, and the like weird... they didn't have like the well, they did, but yeah.
But like there was rules. Like you go watch these people have sex, but don't whip it out.
You can't touch yourself.
Like you're just like blue balling yourself.
Yeah. So, but then did you know about his 2001 arrest?
Is this the one about the kids?
Okay, so
it's expunged. It does. It right.
It did get expunged.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
But I did a little bit more research into it.
All right.
So guys,
we want to make him because he's funny.
Oh, he's hilarious.
I don't want to look at him.
No. I did.
This
some
is like
research.
The Johnny Depp thing
so,
last week.
I did do some research.
Okay.
So he was arrested for a misdemeanor obscenity charge in California. Now this is directly from what his lawyer said.
Okay.
It was from an erotic art collection, including photographs from 1901 that had a man that was possibly anywhere from the age of 17 to 19 years old laying on a beach after having gone skinny dipping. That's per his lawyer. So it wasn't like he was like having sex with anybody.
No.
It
okay.
was like it was an it was an erotic art collection, photography collection.
Pornography in a sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, like, they can't say that it was, like, kids or anything like that.
Well, that's why it was a misdemeanor charge, because they couldn't prove that it was child porn.
The weirdest thing is that, like, you think of, like, a 17-year-old in 1901, they probably looked 30.
Oh my, people were back from like the fucking war at that point.
Well, I was going to say that's pre-war. They probably
were married and had 3 kids by then.
Back from the Spanish-American War.
Seriously. But he actually was quoted to saying, "I pled guilty because it was easier to be done with it than to have a costly circus-like court case."
Yeah, because I mean, he's already got the rep as the whole
exactly, thing, and his mugshot from the '91 arrest.
That's so weird. Yo, okay, the skullet. I saw it. Oh. Yeah, I saw it. He's got like Ned Flanders glasses, right, and like the skullet, and he's got a goatee. Like he looks like a guy who would beat meat in a theater.
1,000%. But it's Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah, and then like you see like bow tie. Hello, exactly. Cherry. You know, and all of a sudden he's
a cigarette.
All of a sudden he looks like one of the bikers from The Big Adventure.
Yeah, he does. He looks scary in his mugshot. So weird, but he did serve 3 years probation. During those 3 years, he had to be put on like the sex offenders list and everything. But after the probation, everything was expunged. He was removed from all lists. Okay. And again, it was a misdemeanor because they were like, well, it's weird, but it's not like technically we can't prove
it's not like he had a hard drive full of like kids in a pool and shit like that. Because like that's the way like when you read certain things.
Exactly.
Especially nowadays when people just read the headlines.
Exactly.
They would read something like that and they wouldn't know the ins and outs of the case or what was going on.
And that's why like I saw the headlines because I had no idea he was arrested in 2001.
Yeah.
And I was like, hold up. I want to dig a little deeper because this movie was made in 2016.
Yeah.
Ain't no way that they would have made a movie like a Pee Wee Herman movie with a petter ass.
A PG movie.
Yeah, there's no way. But so, you know, again, it was part of an art collection that he had purchased. They took his computer, they took all the art and everything in his house, and it was basically down to like these few photos in this art collection.
Okay.
From like 1901.
I was gonna say, so 100-year-old kind of erotic black and white photos
of that, a guy. I can't even imagine
that the quality would be even
beatable. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh my god, like, sir, these pictures are sticking together, like, you know, like that kind of shit.
Yeah,
but that's just, yeah, that's okay. So Paul Rubens, weird but not horrible,
weird but not a pedophile,
not a bad guy.
Yeah,
he's just weird.
Yeah, I mean you kind of have to be to create and be Pee Wee Herman though.
Well, the funny thing about this character is that our uncle, the one who took me to Jurassic Park, he was a grown man. He used to like watch Pee Wee and like get a kick out of it. He's like, thought it was the funniest shit.
Well, because it's all punny.
It is. Oh god,
it's so punny.
It's right up his punny alley.
Yeah.
And like he told me this joke. I'm gonna.
Oh boy.
He told me this joke like 5 years ago. He's like, who are the 3 most notable guys to get shot in the back of the head in American history? Lincoln, JFK, and the guy who sat in front of Pee Wee. Oh, you're right.
Yeah, sorry. I just took a mouthful of drink. Oh, and I almost fucking spit it all over the laptop.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was
that's him.
Yeah, that's very him.
That's very him.
But as a kid, I watched The Playhouse.
Yeah.
Oh my god,
The Secret Word. That's like my favorite thing
and
ever.
Zombie and Cherry and the Globe and the robot. What's the robot's name? You remember? King of Cartoons. Lawrence Fishburne would show up as Cowboy Curtis. And then, like, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. When we were kids, and, like, the Disney Channel would play Pee-wee's Big Adventure on the regular. Oh, yeah. The fucking breakfast theme. That's where it's at. And so, like, I love Pee-wee. I was a fan growing up, so, like,
lots of good childhood memories of that shit. Yeah,
I was all about this. And this is a movie, because I'm going to assume that the people listening, maybe 50%, found this movie on Netflix when it came out and watched it.
Or you're watching it because we're watching.
Yeah, if you're watching along with us, that's cool. But if you are not a fan of Pee-wee, this movie, you're going to hate this movie.
Yeah, you might want to skip this cast.
Yeah, this is, I don't know if I talked about it on air last week or if this was afterwards when we were talking. But like, this Pee-wee's Big Adventure was a litmus test for relationships for me. There were several girls who did not make it past the opening stage of dating because I put this on 10 minutes in. This is awful. I don't like it. What?
This is why weird.
Why is he wearing a suit? You know, like, just random shit like that. Why does he ride that bike? That bike is, like, for 3 years.
With a tiger on the front.
Like, you know? It's just that the absurdism of Pee-wee works for us, I think. But if it's not for everybody.
Definitely
and
not.
This movie is definitely, like, it's like an homage to The Big Adventure.
Yeah.
Like, everything from the travel aspect to, like, the characters he meets and they wrap up and everything like that. Like I said, it's just a contemporary spin. Mm-hmm. And I loved it. I thought this movie was fun. Thought it was weird, especially the opening scene, but I thought it was fun.
Yeah. So that brings us, guys, to our opening scene. It's Pee-wee with an E.T.-esque alien named Yule.
I thought I was having a stroke when I saw this alien. Because it has, like, three nostrils.
It does.
Like,
it nose, has three nose
vertically,
openings.
Yeah, vertically stacked.
Yeah.
And does it have two eyes? Like,
it has
two
big blue eyes.
Yeah, I was, like, fucking tripping watching this.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it has this, like, southern female voice.
It's female, I think.
She's like, oh, Pee-wee, I wish I could say arrivederci.
They're in the middle of the woods alone.
It's very strange.
It's like lovers.
Yeah.
Like, he had a relationship for 2 weeks with his
alien. He's like, this has been the best 2 weeks of my life. She's like, I learned so much about Earth, and I wish I could stay here, but I have to go home.
It's like Danny and Sandy on the beach in Greece. It's kind of like that. Oh, she has to go back to Australia.
Yeah. Now my parents are going back to Australia. So anyway, Yule invites him to go with her to her planet to meet her friends, to meet her family and her parents, and just live together and be happy.
Stage 5 clinger after 2 weeks.
And he's like, no, I've got to stay here on Earth with the people I know.
I can't leave home.
Yeah, and then he says that he made them friendship bracelets, and he puts it on Yule. And that he wants to go, but he can't leave home. He wants to go, but he can't leave home. As Yule is being lifted in a cloud of smoke up to her spaceship.
Beam. And, oh, God, this claymation is just like the Large Marge.
I don't even know if it's claymation. It's just like a puppet.
But yeah, and it's like, and you can tell there's like a string.
Yeah.
It's so delightful.
It's like spinning. You can see its feet. Like, it's
great.
So absurd. And, he just keeps on screaming, I want to go, but I can't leave home. And then we realize it's a dream. And he wakes up, and that's when the chaos begins, guys.
Instead of a breakfast machine, we have a, like, living morning machine. Everything is, like, perfect.
Get ready for life
machine. Let's hear
it. So, the bed folds up. He rolls into a recliner, now fully dressed. The chair floats up to the second story.
Yeah, the balloon inflates. Yeah.
And then he goes out of the roof. The balloon then gets popped on a weather vane. He slides into skis, goes down his roof, and goes into a tiny car.
This thing is so awesome.
It's amazing.
It's this little convertible like a 3-year-old would drive. Like Fisher Price made it.
Yeah, like.
But it has a motor.
Oh my God. And then, like, you could see, like, there's a string attached to the one wheel. And as he's going down the street, he's, like, triggering all of these things. There's, like, one of those old school, like, weight loss belts attached to an apple tree. And a bunch of apples fall into his car. And then everybody's, like, waving to him, like, hi, Pee-wee, good morning.
Everybody.
And he's throwing apples at, like, kids and his neighbors. Everybody's loving it. And then he goes and, like, he hits this thing on a doghouse. The doghouse wakes up the dog. The dog goes into the house. And then we see the little boy and girl go to their positions. The boy opens the door. Pee-wee drives his tiny car through the house to a breakfast buffet.
They have a buffet like a hotel. It's beautiful.
To a breakfast buffet. He grabs French toast, bacon, regular toast, grapes, fucking everything, sausage, takes one nibble of a corner of French toast, hands the plate to the girl who opens up the back door for him, and then that just catapults another log to fall down. The car crashes into the log, and then he flips out and lands on a skateboard.
That falls from a tree, correct?
Yeah, yeah, and he's just cruising on it. We see his iconic white leather moccasins. And then he picks up an old woman who has a helmet on her head. And they skate through the fucking streets. Cars are stopping for them. And he drops her off at Nana's Yarn Barn.
This is like the busy world of Richard Scarry.
Dude, it's madness.
It's so awesome.
It's fucking chaos. So now, okay, the town is set in the 50s.
I swear to God, it's like modern day America, but it's like Pleasantville.
Yeah.
It's like a 50s sitcom where everybody's like, how y'all doing? We got sprinkler on the lawn, the paper boy, the milkman.
And everything he goes by, you see like Fairville Firehouse, Fairville Tire.
Hardware store.
Like, everything is
Fairville. And everybody's out front like, hello, Pee-wee. Like, everybody's so like nice and kind.
So now this woman pays Pee-wee for his travel with a root beer barrel.
He loves them.
He loves them. That's his favorite candy. No.
I've never had one either. Do they actually have root beer in them?
I don't know. Okay, I'm like, so curious.
I feel
about
like
that.
Such a noob because yeah. I see them, like, whenever you go to a gas station, they have, like, the 99 cent bags yeah. of candy, and it's like, oh, we got these watermelon slices with sugar on them, and yeah. these, like, Sour Patch Kids. And root beer barrels are always there, and I'm just always. Like, nah, that looks like shit. I don't
want
to. But
I feel like if there was liquid inside of them, it would, like, melt the hard candy eventually.
Well, I mean, they have those wax, the bottles with, like, the juice
yeah,
in them.
Yeah, but the root beer barrel maybe is, like, actual wax. Candy.
Oh, is it? You eat them?
I think so.
See, we're confused, guys, so help us out. Actually, you can keep talking. I'll look it up.
Okay. So, while Pee-wee gets his root beer barrel, and he sticks the world's tiniest paper straw into the top of it.
Yeah,
and drinks out of it. And he's like, ah, so refreshing. And then we eventually find out Fairville is the name of the town. So now he's walking down the street, and this man gets his attention. And you can tell Pee-wee's already, like, pissed off that this guy is, like, trying to get him. And he's like, no, Herbert. Like, I don't know the guy's name.
Marvin,
like,
I think.
Marvin.
Yeah.
I'm good. And then he's like, no, 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 come in. And he's trying to get him to buy a vacation plan.
He's the travel agent of Fairville.
Yeah, and he's like, don't you want to go out into the world and see anything? And he's like, Marvin, you know, I don't want to go anywhere or try anything new. And then he, like,
Pee-wee is our brother.
So then he, like, tries to, like, catwalk away by the library, like, stealthily get by the library,
mm-hmm.
and he runs into Emily the librarian, who is apparently the Dottie of this movie. Yeah,
well, when we first watched it, I thought she was going to be, but yeah. she only does this one scene. Like, she doesn't come back.
Yeah.
But she's obviously the woman who's, like, interested.
She's obviously in love with him. She's like, yeah. when are you coming to the book club? You did an RSVP.
RSVP to a book club.
My God.
I love it.
And then she gives him another copy of Scuba Cop, a book that he apparently loves, with hammerhead sharks.
And, Scuba Cop is so awesome. Right? Oh, so here we go. Look at this. It's Dad's root beer.
Yeah.
Which is not bad. It looks like they are just a hard candy.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So I guess the root beer straws is just kind of a Pee-wee thing. Like,
that makes sense,
oh, we're actually
too.
Drinking out of it. But yeah, they're hard candies.
Huh. That makes more sense. It's just a Pee-wee thing.
No, oh, look, you can get them in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia.
Hmm.
Prohibitionist beware. That's hilarious. All right.
So, to get away from Emily, Pee-wee says, LATTIHTBG, and she looks at him as confused as I'm sure you and I were, and he said, look at the time, I have to be going. Which is the worst acronym, like, shortened acronym ever.
I might be using this at work.
LATTIHTBG. Look at the time.
No, it's IHGTBG. I have to... Oh, you're right. I threw an extra G in there.
I have to be going.
Yeah, okay, I screwed that.
Fuck you, Kevin.
Woo! So immediately I botch it. All right.
So, well, then we find out that he works at the diner, the Fairville Diner, Dan's Diner.
And it's the
as
guy.
As a cook.
It's the guy from Office Space.
Yes, that's where I know him
jump
from.
Jump to conclusions, man.
Yes. and then we see Pee-wee's band come in, and they're all in, like, fucking Letterman sweaters. That's why I'm like, is this Grease, like, in the 50s?
Like and they're, like, 50s jocks.
Yeah.
And one is Seth Meyers' better brother, Josh.
I was going to say, he looked like somebody I recognized.
We talked about him a few weeks ago, I think.
Josh Myers?
We brought up Josh Myers because I was like...
Seth Myers.
No, we brought up Josh because I was like, he's better than Seth. Oh, I forget what the fuck we talked about. But yeah, so yeah, the Renegades, they're called.
Yes, the Renegades. Well, each one of them has a new excuse as to why they can't practice at night. When Pee-wee's heartbroken because that's when they rehearse, night.
Yeah.
And so they say, well, the Renegades are breaking up. He goes over to his locker, gets a photo of the band.
So awesome.
Lights it on fire on the stove and basically, like, tells them all to fuck off.
Yeah.
Go kick rocks, and then he breaks his flutophone.
Yeah, and they tell him he's stuck in a rut, not like the rest of them. The rest of them are living life.
Mm-hmm. That he needs to go out there and live his, too.
Yeah.
So now we see Pee-wee angry, where he's, like, borderline psychotic.
He's, like, cutting up the hash browns.
Yeah. And then, like, he goes outside and he says something that this is the second time he said it. You got to let me be on my way now.
Yeah.
Or something like
no,
that.
No, you've
like,
got to let me be going now.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Like a polite way of saying, like, fuck off and leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like, let me go.
One of the... So, because they're in the diners.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know you're what you're about to say.
Go for it.
The guy who loves the biscuits
yeah.
is fucking Bob Vance from Vance Refrigeration.
Bob Vance with a biscuit. That's what I had. It's like, oh shit, we got some connective tissue.
Yep. But they're all saying how much they love his food and like everything. It makes their day and it's the best tasting food ever. And he's like, you've got to let me be going now. Yes. And he like ushers them all out. And
then we did you notice who one of the other women was, another character actress. You watch Everybody Loves Raymond?
Yeah.
Robert's girlfriend, Amy.
Wife.
Yeah.
They get married.
Oh.
Really?
She was the lady in the diner.
The meter maid?
Yeah, I think that's what she was. She had the uniform? Yeah.
No,
like I said, this is a movie where you just see faces and you're like, oh, it's that guy.
I didn't catch that. So now he goes back to his grill and he starts crying and you just see his tears evaporating on the griddle. Yeah. And then we find out that Dan, of Dan's Diner, his boss, is going to the lodge to meet some friends, so he wants Pee-wee to watch over the diner.
Again, that's very 50s. Going to the lodge, huh?
Right. Like, I don't even know what if a lodge still exists these days.
Like Fred and Barney.
Hey, Wilma, I'm going to the lodge.
Water buffaloes.
So now he's reading his Scuba Cop book and watching over the diner, and we hear a motorcycle outside, and it piques Pee-wee's interest. And then Joe Manganiello shows up. He orders a chocolate milkshake.
He's like a greaser.
Yo, he
keeping with the 50s aesthetic.
He hits the jukebox like Fonzie, and it plays a song. He hits it again, it plays another song. He hits it a third time, and it's both songs.
It's a mashup.
Yeah. And Pee-wee's just like, oh my god, he's so cool. So now he orders his chocolate milkshake. And it was, like, weird because Pee-wee and him said chocolate at the same time. Like, so then Pee-wee goes over, makes the messiest fucking milkshake I've ever
seen.
Like
a mixologist.
Yeah.
Having a stroke.
He puts a fucking face shield on, which 2020, thank you for, like, making that a common thing. Pee-wee was playing with it in 2016. And he, like, is shaking. Like, he looks like he's having a seizure.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Manganiello is just like, what the fuck?
He's getting his spoons
He's
ready.
He's just watching this guy. And so then Pee-wee slides the milkshake down. Joe hits a fucking spoon. The spoon goes into the milkshake. He starts eating it, and he said, that's the most delicious milkshake he's ever had. Top five, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then they find out that they both love the root beer barrels.
Their second favorite candy is?
Charleston Chew.
Charleston Chew.
What's the third? It's like a tie.
Between Skittles and Rolos.
I think. I don't know.
It's either Rolos or Necco Wafer. They're all like disgusting old people candies.
It's all weird shit, man. But like they keep on speaking at the same time. And then Joe asks if Pee-wee will take him on a tour of the town. And Pee-wee's like, well, I'm watching the diner. And he tells Pee-wee he needs to live a little bit and to close the diner and to take him on a tour. So now they leave on the motorcycle. And they go to Pee-wee's house, which, Joe Manganiello, how you didn't think this guy was a psychopath for taking you directly to his home,
so,
but okay. And Pee-wee's showing him the town model that he has and how much he loves it.
He does, it's like the, in Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
when it's the Maitlands have, like, the model of the town, like, Pee-wee has one in his backyard.
Yeah, and he's like, well, that's Fairville High, that's Fairville Tire, that's Fairville this.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's Dan's Diner, and then that building is where my band, the Renegade... And you can see him, like, catch himself, and he gets, like, that psychotic look on his face again. And he goes psycho, and he takes the garage off of the board, and he fucking bashes it into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So now, I'm waiting for Joe Manganiello's character to give his name. Turns out he's just Joe Manganiello.
Joe Manganiello's just him.
He's him, and he's like, Pee-wee's just like, Joe Manganiello. Like, he cannot say his last name.
Manganiello.
Yeah. And Pee-wee, like, has no idea that he's a big actor. And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, Magic Mike, True Blood. And Pee-wee's like, nope, no idea.
I know what Magic Mike is. I've never seen it.
I've never seen
never
it
Never saw
either.
True Blood either. The only reason
I've watched True Blood.
The only reason I know Joe Manganiello, well, at first, my first exposure to him, he used to show up on The Soup all the time. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? He would show up and do weird things with Joe McHale. And then the second one is I just watched a movie.
Which makes so much more sense why he did this movie.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could tell he's like a fun guy. And like two months ago, I want to say it was around Christmas, over at my friend's, we watched Arch Enemy, a movie that just came out last year.
Oh,
where he's like an alien who's like a superhero.
Jesus.
But, and the bad guy is Dennis from It's Always Sunny, Glenn Howerton.
God.
And it's just really fucking weird. It's just really...
Yo, he's married to Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, I found that out too.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Wild shit, man.
You know what's also weird? It's like, I looked up, he's going to be 45, I think, this
really?
Year. But he looks, he's one of those guys who, like, looks good, but, like, he looks older.
Like, he looks like 40. He would be, like, a really, he would be, like, the best in shape, like, 50-year-old.
Yeah, because, like, in this movie, he's, like, 40. Yeah. But, like, he's got, like, the patch of gray and everything. Yeah. He looks older, and he's got, like, the forehead front lines.
He's still going to look great at 50,
well, I'm saying, oh, yeah, he's always, the dude's a handsome guy. I'm not he's saying. He's a very but handsome it's just man. Shocked me how, like, he looks older than he mm-hmm. is. But in a good way.
In
like,
the best way. A distinguished way. Yeah, in the yeah. best way. Like, yeah. he's a daddy.
And he's, yeah, and he's jacked.
Yeah.
Because we had to get the gratuitous shower scene yeah. later on.
Well, he's, so I've never seen Magic Mike, but I can tell you one scene that I've seen on, like, Facebook, like, a clip of it, yeah. and it's him, like, they say, because Gabriel Iglesias is in it.
The fat guy?
Yeah, he's the DJ.
Oh, nice.
For the male stripper.
Oh, speaking of DJs, we're going to talk about the one in this movie later.
Oh, we will. We will get there, don't worry. Yes. But they, like, get, like, bet him that he couldn't make the girl in the convenience store smile or something like that, or get her attention away from her phone. So Joe Manganiello goes in, and he starts, like, picking stuff up, and then all of a sudden, the Backstreet Boys or something starts playing, and he starts doing a striptease throughout the store. Like, he has a bottle of water, and he just, like, pours it on himself. He's, like, busting bags of Cheetos open. Like, it's ridiculous. And the girl's just staring at him, like, flat face, like, no reaction. And then at the very end, he, like, does the knee slide all the way up to the counter, and then she just starts laughing. And all the guys on the outside are like, oh, yay, he did it, he did it. And that's literally my only exposure to Magic Mike 1 or 2.
You know who else
stars?
Because
there's a double XL.
Oh, is there?
There is.
You know who else stars, right?
Matt Bonham.
No, Kevin Nash, the wrestler.
Oh my God, you're right.
He plays a character called Tarzan.
Oh my God.
And he's like, hey!
That might be why I never watched it.
Oh, come on.
That please. And because, like, we have a local guy that we call Kevin Nash. And
oh
I
God, I forgot about him.
I don't want to think about him.
Oh, him with his, like, wife beaters.
Yo,
on.
This summer, did you remember the picture I sent you?
Oh yeah, yeah, looking
this
all
this guy was tight. Okay, guys, this guy was in jorts, and that's his brand.
Yeah.
He wears jorts, he has a convertible,
yeah.
he has a mullet,
yeah.
a curly mullet.
He looks like Kevin Nash.
He looks like Kevin Nash from the 90s.
Yeah, he does.
But he has these wife beaters on, and his fucking tit was hanging out.
This poor guy doesn't know there's a picture of his tit circulating around.
But, just within our family.
Yeah,
though.
Just like four people know about this. We know about the nip slip, Kev.
You know? It's so weird.
Oh, man. Oh, Kevin God. Nash is the man.
But I love that he still wears the jorts with his knee, like, his knee brace.
Oh, that's true. He wears, like, a Steve Austin, like, bionic redneck does. Knee brace. Oh, what a champ. Oh.
All right, so anyway, back to Pee-wee. So Joe Manganiello, he's like, listen, man.
Did we talk about them taking a picture yet?
No, not yet.
Okay.
He goes, what about that treehouse? That's literally the next thing.
Oh, okay,
talk
okay.
about. And he's like, oh, that's the one thing on here that's not accurate. I want a treehouse. So then Joe's like, well, let's take a picture together where your treehouse would be. And they take a picture together.
On like a digital camera, yes, not even a phone.
In 2016. That's why I'm like, wait, what year is this actually fucking set in? Because it's like a Sony digital camera that you'd see at like a 2002 concert.
It's so awesome.
Like, I can't get over this shit. And so then he asked Pee-wee, like, if he ever left Fairville or anything, and Pee-wee tells him how he once won a trip to Salt Lake City, Utah, but he never made it, and he came back with a metal plate in his head. And he goes, well, that explains not traveling, I guess.
My favorite is on the end of the model, there's just train tracks. Yeah. He's like, what's on the other side of the tracks? I've never gone there. Like, it just stops at the railroad.
But, like, as he's saying, like, I once won a trip to Salt Lake City, Utah, like, the background noise is, like, police sirens yeah. and, like, screams and shit. It's like, what the fuck? It's like a Vietnam flashback for him.
It's like Godzilla came to Utah.
Seriously. So now Joe convinces him that he needs to take a holiday, and he invites him to his birthday party that's going to be in New York City in 5 days. And,
with this awesome invitation.
Yes.
Gotham City on it.
Dude. So now they go back out front and Joe's, and he's just like, I've never been on a plane. And Joe's like, no, you need life experience. You go out on the road, you drive there. You don't fly. You're only going to find out if you like honey roasted peanuts over salted peanuts if you fly.
You got to break the rules, yeah. break some hearts.
Yeah. So then he peels out of town on his motorcycle.
That's right, he does.
Like a motherfucker. So now we go back and the diner's in chaos. All they can offer is food or is water.
Oh, yeah.
The fucking
Dan's Dan like
is using
out.
His shoe to put out a fucking grease fire. And Pee-wee just appears in the kitchen. And they're like, where the fuck have you been, Pee-wee?
Bob Vance is yelling. He's starving.
Their lunch breaks are almost over. And he tells them that he's leaving on a holiday. And that's it. Like,
yeah, he's just leaving. Sorry. Taking off.
Sorry, guys. Bye. So now we find out that his car is named Connie, and he leaves town.
Well, like after packing his suitcase like Mary Poppins.
Oh, well, yeah, there's that, too. He put a fucking, like, 8-foot ladder in there, yeah. A golf bag.
It is. It's that mysterious Poppins bag.
So now, yeah, so him and Connie are on their way, and he actually leaves Fairville, and they change the population number as he leaves town. And so he goes probably in the next town over.
Yeah.
And he stops at a stoplight, and he goes, oh my god, a stoplight! And he takes out a picture with a camera from, yeah. like, 1950.
Flash!
Seriously. And then he sees these women come out of the bank, and he's like, oh, look, hitchhikers! Get in, ladies! Where are you going? And they jump in. They literally just robbed a bank.
They have, like, the bags of money. Like something Scrooge McDuck would carry right. around. I just love the visuals in this movie. It's so great.
Do you know who one of the girls is?
Yeah, Stephanie Beatriz.
From
Reno, or Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Are you talking about the other one?
I'm talking about the other one.
Which one? Bella, a.k.a. Pee-wee?
Yes, Bella. She's from Spy Kids.
I've seen her. Oh, okay. I've never seen Spy Kids.
She's the girl from Spy Kids, which, coincidentally, on Netflix, is a suggested movie after this. Joel McHale is in Spy Kids 4D. Oh, I didn't even know they made a 4D.
What is 4D?
Well, it's the fourth Spy Kids
movie.
So,
Smell-O-Vision.
No, it's the fourth Spy Kids movie. So, they just called it 4D.
All right.
But I was like, is that Joel McHale?
When did Spy Kids come out? Because I don't recall seeing Spy Kids ever.
So, Spy Kids, I remember our uncle, the one who claims he invented the chicken wing.
Real story.
That's a legitimate story that my husband is very proud to tell his people that he works with. Like, hey, do you want to hear about the family I married into?
I'm sorry. It's just so ridiculous.
He gave us a DVD player for Christmas, like, when they first came out, like, early 2000s.
I was going to say, like, 98.
And the DVD was Spy Kids. That was the first DVD that we had.
Really? He gave us Spy Kids?
Yeah.
Because I was probably, like, 10 or 12.
Probably 10 or 12.
I've never watched
that. But then I was, like, 8.
So she's the girl in Spy Kids.
She's the girl in Spy Kids, yes.
Is she in anything else?
Oh, yeah. But I can't think of anything.
I just feel weird that she wasn't the one named Freckles. Because she's got a lot of freckles.
She does have a lot of freckles.
Yeah. Anyway.
But anyway.
Yeah, so it's three broads.
Yeah, so three
and
girls.
And they're all, like, fucking 1940s.
They,
like,
remind me of,
yeah.
like, the crybaby people.
What you doing?
Yeah, like, the crybaby. Like, listen, baby, we're gonna go. You gotta go. Press on the gas now, sugar daddy. Yeah. Like, it's a bunch of shit like that.
And the one.
They have a switchblade on them. They're like, let's go, daddy-o.
The one's breasts are flotation devices.
Dude, huge.
They are front and center. Holy shit.
Woof. Yeah. And so basically they carjack him.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, literally she, and a maneuver I've never seen, twists her body to push on the gas pedal. And he's just like, here's Pee-wee going, one moving violation after another.
And she's like on his
jump.
Kind of like a lap dance position to put her foot on the gas and then eventually shove him over and roll into the driver's seat.
Yeah. It takes talent to do that shit.
Very good.
So now they outrun the cops, and they end up...
They do this awesome pit maneuver, though. Because, like, there's, like, an old-fashioned billboard on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this thing where they fly 180 degrees and pull in behind it, and the cops keep going.
Yep.
And who's on the billboard, man?
Joe Manganiello.
Like, for, like, watches.
Yes. So now we find out they end up at a motel.
Neptune's Castle.
And they have him tied up to a chair. We find out that the girls, the leader, is named Pepper. Then there's Freckles!
Freckles!
And then Pee-wee.
Yeah. And there's a connection.
There is
Which
a connection.
Which is funny,
like, immediately, because this girl's, like, 21.
I was
going to
say,
like, 50.
That's what I was
point.
Just going to say.
It's weird.
He's not 50, he's, like, 65.
Yeah, it's like, weird. Like, yeah. He still looks good. He still looks like Pee-wee, just, he's definitely ain't no 90s Pee-wee. Like, he's 30 years older than what he was. Yeah. Obviously. But anyway, like, they all have their names embedded, like, engraved onto their switchblades.
Yeah.
which I just think is funny. And they're like, oh, and my name's Pee-wee.
And then that's my name.
That's my name. So now, then there's a knock on the door and they're like, open up, ladies. It's the police. And he's like, see, I knew they were going to catch up with us. And it turns out that they're strippers. And they have a pillow fight
they
now.
They just have a pillow fight.
There's fucking feathers flying all over the place. Pee-wee gets knocked out in the pillow fight with the strippers. And when he wakes up, it's the next morning. And he finds that other Pee-wee left her knife, like, in the ice bucket with a note.
No, no, there was a roll of toilet paper.
Oh, God. And says, like, hey, I left this here for you to get out, like, so you can get yourself untied. He goes outside and his car is gone. And he's just like, those women took my money.
So pissed off.
And,
oh, wait, hold on. Never mind. We didn't get there yet.
Okay.
No, wait. I could have swore. No, I guess we didn't. Never mind. Didn't happen yet. I'm an idiot.
God damn it, Kevin. You're ruining my mood.
I thought when he got unconscious, there was a dream sequence.
No, no, that comes
that's
up
later, yeah.
Yeah. So now, where was I? Oh, he meets a fellow traveler who offers him a lift, and we find out that he's a traveling salesman.
Very happy guy.
Very happy guy.
And did you see what his license plate is?
No.
KNCK, knock knock.
Oh my God.
And he's kind of like this movie's version of Mario from Big Adventure, the guy with the magic store.
Yes.
He's kind of like this movie's version of that.
He sells, like, kitschy shit.
Yeah.
Like, magnetic coffee cups to put on your car to, like, fuck with people. Magnetic grocery bags to put on your car to fuck with people. And then Pee-wee sees a sign for a snake farm in 200 miles. And that's when we find out, like, he sells more kitschy shit. Like,
to gift shops and stuff.
Whoopee cushions. Yeah, like, that's what he sells to gift shops. So then he tells Pee-wee not to touch anything, which of course Pee-wee distracts him and, like, literally just runs his hands over everything.
His case of wares.
But Pee-wee's just like, ugh, snakes, I hate snakes. And he's like, well, that's actually where we're going. I sell things to gift shops and blah, 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 blah. And then he goes, I'm feeling very generous. You can have one thing in there free of charge. So he takes the top secret disguise kit. So now Pee-wee...
As they're driving, people, because he has the magnetic bag of groceries on the seal or the roof of the
roof,
car.
Yeah.
And, like, people pull up, they're like, you got your groceries up there! And he rolls up the back window of the car. It's like a 1960s Dodge. Or not 60s, like 85. And on the window, there's a flyer. It says, $19.99 for magnetic grocery bag.
And they're all just like, fuck you, dude.
And then a Spanish family rolls up, and they're speaking in Spanish, and he rolls up, and it's a Spanish flyer.
Oh, my God.
For, like, $19.99.
And he's just like, gracias, mi amigos.
So God. Awesome.
So now Pee-wee's falling asleep, and he's dreaming of Joe's party, and they're speaking in Spanish to each other.
It's just a dark room with sparklers going off.
Yeah.
And which one is this? Is this the one when they have the cake, the giant cake?
Yes.
And they're dancing around it, speaking in Spanish?
Yeah. It's weird. So he wakes up, and he's at the snake farm. Everything is a pun at the snake farm. He's like, oh, the baby rattlers, they're the most dangerous. And they have, like, this little cage, and it says, like, warning, warning. And he looks in, and it's baby rattles.
My favorite is Pee-wee just goes, that's stupid. Like, it's even too
even
stupid
Pee-wee
for him.
Even thinks it's dumb, yes. So then they walk in, and he, like, the guy goes up, and he's selling to the people. And he's like, the Cuatro Fuego, and it lights four flames at once.
Yeah, it's like a big lighter with four flames.
Yeah, that's it. But Pee-wee's walking around and he sees a sign for water moccasins. And he opens up the barrel like he's trying to be brave. And it's just a pair of white moccasins floating in water. And he's just like, this is ridiculous.
It's too much for Pee-wee.
So then he's like, this place sucks. There's nothing scary here. So then this lady makes him sign a waiver
to go
see the monster.
This woman is like the operator, her and the husband, I guess. She looks like the grandma from
she
the Addams
like
family.
Marge.
Yeah, like from the grandma from the Addams family. Like, she's got the straw hair and like spots on her face.
She boils and shit.
She's rough.
She is very rough. So now he wants to go in to see the monster. And she makes him sign a waiver, which this part, even for me,
it was so stupid.
Even for me, it was a little long in the tooth. And that's not the only one that's a little long in the tooth.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, so she makes him initial this waiver like 100 times.
Yeah, like,
oh, here?
Yeah.
And here.
Even he looks at her after like 20 of them and he's like, really? She's like, oh, I forgot one. And here, and here, and here.
It's like the Family Guy when Peter hits his knee.
And it's just like 2 minutes straight up.
Yeah. It's just like that. They're going to see how long they can milk it.
Literally. So now he goes in and he's like, you see a little something in like this jungle scene, and then out pops like a big fake snake. And he's just like, that's not scary. So then like, as he's like, this is stupid. Then he gets like a tap on the glass behind him, and there's like a king cobra.
Yeah, it's like 8 feet tall.
Yeah, it's like massive. And he lets out the highest pitched scream. I was gonna say, I'm not even gonna attempt because it would hurt their ears. He gets kicked off of a bus.
It's like 20 minutes of him screaming.
Yeah. He was going to hitchhike, and they were like, nah, fuck this guy. Drop him off on the side of the road. He's now hitchhiking. And he finds a farmhouse, finally.
Yes.
With Farmer Brown. And Farmer Brown, he doesn't even say, like, can I stay here? He's just like, oh, hell, kid, come on
you
in.
You know who he is?
Who?
The dad from Bill and Ted. Excellent Adventure. Oh, my God. Because I'm like another guy. I'm like, who is he? I know him.
I know him. So now Farmer Brown lets him stay, and we meet his daughters. I'm not going to go through all nine of them.
And they're all like...
They're large and tall. They're Amazonian women.
They are big.
And they're larger. They are BBW. Big, beautiful white women.
That's okay. BBWW.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's just woman. I don't know if it's white. I think you just added that.
Big, beautiful woman? I don't know. I don't know, guys.
She's got baby brain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's mashed potatoes up there. So, they all bring out, like, a different dinner item as they're introduced.
Wax beans, meatloaf, mashed potatoes. Oh, like, God. Each one has a dish. And it's like a dating site. They're like, Grace, perky, and peppy.
Yeah, like...
They all, like, tell...
Some ridiculous
studious
shit.
And happy. Like, they all found, like, a male suitor, and they're all going to put their best foot forward.
Good God. It's like Seven Brides for Seven Brothers.
It's kind of like on The Office, the farmer with the woman, and they pull
Esther.
Up to... Yeah, they pull up to, like, Dwight's funeral or whatever.
Well, there is a scene where they're all in the back of a pickup truck.
I know, that's exactly what I thought of.
So then Farmer Brown asks Pee-wee to say a few words, and instead of saying grace, Pee-wee says encyclopedia, pimple, and something else.
Hairball.
Hairball.
Amen.
Amen. So now, Farmer Brown, they're all sitting out on a porch swing, which is like 20 feet long.
It's like this massive bench going across the entire porch.
I think it's at least 25 feet long.
Oh, God, yeah, to fit these women.
BBW women. So anyway, he sends all of his daughters to bed, and they all say goodnight to Pee-wee. Then he literally screams in Pee-wee's face to stay away from his daughters.
Oh, my God, he's so mild-mannered the whole time. He's like... Well, it's getting time for bed, Pee-wee. He's like, all right, and getting tired. And he just goes, stay away from my daughter!
He literally screams in his face out of nowhere. So now we see Pee-wee in his room. And one by one, each of the, like, he starts getting a knock on the door. I brought blankets! And he's like, it's 80 degrees in here. Like, it's literally 80 degrees in here.
One has milk and cookies.
Yeah, and he's like, not hungry, just ate dinner. Like, and he's just turning them all down. Like, the one is just putting lipstick on at the door. Yeah. And then he goes back in, and another one brings blankets. He just closes the door, and she's like, I just want to cuddle! Like, she's trying to wrestle her way into the room. So then he goes and he lays back down, and there's one fucking under his bed that pops up. I think this one's Louise.
Two on a tree branch.
Yeah, and he... There's two on a tree branch that falls. They fall with it. And then he falls out the window when the one in the room scares the shit out of him. And there's a girl out on the roof with a table set up. She's like, fancy meeting you here.
She has like a candlelit dinner out on the roof with two chairs at this table. And then another one pops out of the chimney.
Pops out of the chimney like, hey there.
Yeah. Hey, Sharoo. Sharay. It's just like the chimney sweeps.
So then he falls off the roof. And he goes,
to the barn, right?
He goes out to the barn, and then he's dreaming of Joe Manganiello again, and at his party. I don't even know what
this is
one.
The one where he gives him the suit just like him.
Oh,
and they dance in the twin suit.
Yes, they both have the same suit, bow tie on, and they're just dancing with each other. Again, a black room, just sparklers in the background.
It's so wonderful.
Speaking Spanish.
Yeah, it's so great.
So now it's the morning, and Farmer Brown wakes him up out of the barn, and all of the daughters, are there, and they're
sitting in the bed of a truck.
Yeah, and he's like, so he's like, oh, we're gonna take you somewhere special, Pee-wee. So they're driving.
Some of the women are like, have casts and like, yeah, they have slings on their arm from slings falling out of the trees. It's really funny.
It's like this was one of my favorite parts of the movie.
It was great.
So now he's telling them that they're taking him somewhere special. And he said one of his daughters is getting married today. They're going to the wedding chapel. And he says, my new son-in-law is in the bed of the truck, or in the truck with me. And Pee-wee's like, I don't see anybody! Not realizing that he is getting forced into a marriage with one of his daughters. So now they're at the church.
Well, this is when he picks it.
Yeah.
Because he's like, which one do you want? Like, the farmer's offering up anyone.
Any one of his daughters. And he goes, geez, Louise. And he goes, Louise, you were picked! And of course, it's the largest of the women. Yes,
the East German power lifter.
Yeah. My God. She was in... She was in the beer... Oh, what was it?
Beer Fest.
Beer Fest. That's the one. So, they're at the church, and the girl says, I do, and then the priest says to Pee-wee Aloysius Herman, if he does, and Pee-wee's like, I... And the Farmer Brown literally cocks a shotgun.
He pulls it out of nowhere. Like,
what the fuck? And every time he says, I, all of the other daughters move closer. Like... Jesus Christ. So now he goes, I have to go. Nature's calling. So he goes into the bathroom and they're all waiting for him. And he takes out his top secret disguise kit. And because he tries to escape out the window and there's a brick wall on the other side.
Yeah,
of the
I love
window.
That. I love that. It's like the cask of Amontillado.
He's like, I'm trapped. So now he comes out because the farmer was just about to go in looking for him. He comes out. With a cowboy with, like, a huge fucking foam cowboy
It's one of
hat.
Those, like, inflatable Halloween costumes.
Yeah, and where, a fake horse.
Yeah, the horse is and blown up and, like, there's, like, fake
the
legs.
The little legs.
Yeah.
The little legs.
And he's got a Turd Ferguson hat on.
Yeah.
It's so good.
And, nobody realizes it's him. Like, it's an actual fucking disguise. Like, this cowboy just came out of the bathroom passing off Herman. And he runs, and he gets outside, he takes the hat off, he unsheaths his horse, and he's just like, ha ha!
We also find out his real name is Aloysius.
Aloysius.
Here. Did not know that. Mm-hmm. Did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
No, well, in the vows, he said Pee-wee Aloysius.
Yeah.
So now, he's walking down the street, walking down the highway, and a mobile salon called Freewheelin' picks him up. It's four friends who are going to a national hair competition. And they show, like, they all have these, like...
Huge, like, garbage bags
yeah,
over there.
Yeah, garbage bags
because their hair is, like, 8 feet tall.
Yeah. And they all unsheath their hair. I'm using unsheath a lot.
I like that, yeah.
And they turn around, and it's the United States of America.
Yeah, they put their hair together, and it creates a map.
Yeah. And he realizes just how far he still has to go, and he doesn't think he's going to get there on time mm-hmm. to Joe's party. But they just know that he's going to get there, and they're going to give him a makeover. He walks off the bus, and his hair is a helicopter.
It's a helicopter. It's literally a helicopter.
It's literally a helicopter. Like, you could see the ends of the hair on the blades and everything. And so he hugs them all, wishes them luck in their competition. And he meets another woman who's, like, British? Southern?
I think she's supposed to be, like, upper crust. Like, you know, like how Mr. Howell used to talk.
Yeah.
Like, one of them. Yeah.
So she has
You know who she is, right?
Is that the one who played...
Simone.
Yes, yeah.
She's back.
Okay, because I was going to say, I'm like, it would be really cool if that was Simone and, like, she actually, like, just did really well for herself.
Yeah, it's Mr. and Mrs. Cobblepot were reunited. Yeah. It's wonderful.
But she says that she has a flying car and she's going to New York City. And if he doesn't mind being there in 5 hours,
yeah,
that...
That's a Southern accent.
I know. Like, her accent was so strange, though. I can't
And she's in
down.
This open-top car with, like, this Amelia Earhart
That's the only
helmet.
Way... Amelia Earhart helmet.
Yeah.
And so she's going to take him with her. Her name is Miss King. She's a doorbell heiress.
Well,
every
you know,
time a doorbell rings, I hear ka-ching.
I was gonna say, like, eventually the guy who created Ring is gonna gonna have an heiress, you know.
Yeah, that's true. So now they're flying and she offers him salted peanuts and honey roasted peanuts and he can't decide, so she says have both. She gives him a sandwich and he starts eating the orange and she's like,
garnish.
That's the garnish. The garnish. What are you doing, Pee-wee? That's the garnish. And that's why I say it's like a southern
yeah,
British...
Yeah, kind of is. Like she's a cotillion or
yeah.
something.
So now he sees engine failure, yeah. And there's smoke coming out of the car.
This is so stupid.
She hands him an umbrella, and then she does like a flying squirrel.
She has a squirrel outfit. Yeah. She like jumps out. She looks like Rocket J.
She does.
And she does the Simone. Au revoir!
Yeah, au revoir! Or no, arrivederci!
It's a throwback.
And, I thought she said arrivederci, because that's what the alien says.
And so does somebody else in the movie, and I can't...
Oh, maybe it was arrivederci, or maybe it was au revoir.
I think she did it as like a callback.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, that makes more sense. Because I was going to say, I think somebody else says arrivederci.
Yeah.
But anyway... So, he lands, so the umbrella works for a second, and then it turns inside out. He lands in a river, goes over a waterfall, and he dreams that he and Joe Manganiello are now jousting on piñatas.
This is the best, because they have these giant lances. Yeah,
again, in a black room with only sparklers in the background, they're jousting on these giant piñatas.
Is Joe wearing the suit, too, or is he in, like, his greaser gear?
I think he's in his greaser gear. Okay. Again, though, speaking only in Spanish to each other.
Like, I don't know Spanish. I would just say French words like un sacato.
Yeah, like it's just randomly speaking Spanish, like muy bien, so me gusta.
And they're so happy, like they're so happy. Ridiculous, sitting on these horse-sized pinatas. Oh, I love it.
So now, and the best part is the jousting sticks are the sticks that you would use to hit a pinata with.
Oh, totally. Yeah,
they're like the striped ones. Oh my god. So then he's found by Grizzly Bear Daniels, who saved him. And this guy's like, the only way you're going to get out of here is, you know, if you find a hermit who lives in the woods and knows him like the back of his weathered hand, and was formerly a CPA but walked away from all of that life. And
totally seems like a guy who would cut your skin off and make a lamp.
Oh, wear it. Yeah. So now he's like, I'll take you out of here. So... he leads him to his cave, and
his cave, like it's like normal.
Yeah, he's like, oh, it's so nice what you did with the place.
Yeah,
he's
like
great.
This giant torch. They have like the stick on fire, and he like lights another one, and like they light up his cave.
It's so strange. And then he makes him sit, and he goes, "Don't move or touch anything, though." And then all of a sudden, Grizzly Bear Daniels. Is, like, on American Idol.
He's like a slam poet.
Yo, he's got daddy issues.
Yeah, he's like, Dad, why didn't you love me? He's doing slam poetry about his father.
Yo, it's some fucked up shit. So, Pee-wee gets the fuck out of there.
Does the scream again.
Yeah. And then he finds Amish men, Ezekiel and Abe, as he's running through the forest. Yeah.
So we can presume he's somewhere in Ohio or Pennsylvania. Yeah, now, I guess.
He's pretty far east at this
point.
Yeah,
the car plane helped him. Yeah. Yes.
So now he's talking to Abe and Ezekiel, and every time they say Amish, he says Gesundheit. And so they take him back to their village.
My favorite part is they're like, oh, we'll be in the village about 2 miles, 5 hours.
Yeah.
And they're just like trotting
they're
on
in a horse.
Horse
and buggy. So now they get to their like village and there's a ton of people around. And he's like, so what do you guys do for fun? And they like, oh, we work. What do you do?
He pulls food. The guy can't say fun.
Food.
Fun. Food. I don't even know how he says it. It's
like, it's a double.
It's like triple syllables. Yeah.
It's like food. And so Pee-wee pulls out a fucking latex balloon that has like different colored polka dots on it. He blows it up in the most painfully long way.
This is like two
blowing
minutes.
Up a balloon.
This is like 3 minutes of the movie.
Dude, they devoted a lot of time to this scene. A little too much for my liking. This one took a little too long. He blows it up and literally just releases the air.
Gradually.
Like makes the noise like...
He's like doing his song. At one point, doesn't he do Jingle Bells?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I think it's Jingle Bells. I recognized the tune when I watched it, and I didn't write it down.
It's like all one take, too, that he blew this thing up to, like, you know, the size of, like, his torso, and then he's just letting it escape.
But, like, you start seeing all of the Amish people behind him starting to, like, walk away gathering. From where they were.
Yeah.
And he literally, like, guys, I'm not exaggerating. You think this is funny until you watch it for 3 minutes straight. And then you're just like, I'm going to murder him if he doesn't end the scene soon.
He took it there.
So they end the scene and there's like 60 Amish people that just give him a round of applause. And then you see them walking, and now all of them have balloons, and they're all doing it to each other.
This is very Kingpin-esque, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's awesome.
So now Ezekiel and Abe take him into, like, the food hall, and they're like, oh, you need to meet our other newcomers. That was German. Don't know why.
Well,
guys.
They are the Pennsylvania Dutch.
Pennsylvania Dutch.
But they're really German. They all have names like Yoder and shit like
That's true. Dwight did say Angela should have learned German.
Oh, yeah. As somebody who lived amongst these people in the valleys and crannies and nooks of central Pennsylvania and who had to dodge horse shit like landmines to get to my car every morning, they're very German.
Yeah.
They're very cool people. I'll be honest with you.
They're very laid back.
They're very cool. You get cheap, like, produce and eggs and shit like that. And I didn't realize it until, like, at the time we had a truck stop down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And they love lottery tickets and cigarettes.
Really?
Yes. Maybe these were people
Cigs
who
did. Cigs I could see, I was going to say, because,
like,
tickets.
At first I was like, wait, were they men in? No, they didn't have, like, electricity. They lived out, you know, beyond on the land. You know, man's got to have land.
Yes. Jesus. So now
you never visited me out there, did you?
No, I didn't.
You never got to see my my sweet digs.
No, I did
with
not.
With the Amish.
No. So now they meet the other newcomers, and it's the bank robbers, Pepper, Freckle, and Pee-wee.
They're all like dressed up, with like the head scarves and shit like that.
And they're like,
but they all have like makeup and lipstick on.
Their tits are still out, like, and Pee-wee's like, ow, and Pepper keeps on kicking him under the table. Every time he's like, they're bad people. Ow! Yeah. Owl hunters, yes. We are.
She keeps finishing it, and then he yells, fudge! Because she kicks him like the third time.
She's like, fudge makers, yes, we are fudge makers. Like, she's still talking in like that daddy-o way. Like I said, this is like a crybaby movie remake.
So great.
And, then they're like, oh, Pee-wee, we could take you to New York City on the horse and buggy in the morning. And Freckles goes, if they have a horse and buggy in the morning.
That's their grand plan.
Because they said that they're from the Amish village out of Las Vegas.
So great.
So now, they plan to steal the horse and buggy. They, like, sneak into the barn overnight.
Everybody goes to bed at 6 p.m.
They go, oh, we should have been in bed an hour ago.
Love the Amish.
So now Pee-wee stops them, and they're like, listen, Pee-wee, you better get out of that horse and buggy, otherwise we're gonna stab you, essentially.
We're gonna kill you.
And he's like, I don't think so, ladies. So then Pepper has a change of conscience.
Yeah, he gives her like this talk about being good people, not bad and shit like that.
And she decides they're going to leave them a bag of money and a note saying that they took the horse and buggy.
Go buy yourselves a new fleet.
A new fleet. Like, the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they will drop Pee-wee off in New York City on their way to Canada. And he agrees to go with them. So then we see them crossing what I'm assuming is the Brooklyn Bridge or one of the
Hudson,
bridges.
I think that's the Hudson River.
I don't know. Whatever bridge they're on.
George Washington Bridge, I believe.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay. I believe I've crossed that bridge many a time.
I've only ever gone into New York City like 3 times, and
really?
I've never actually driven.
What did you ever go there for? Did you go
I had to go there. We went on a bus trip to like go shopping. Went there with Scott, I think, for the band, and then
the band.
Yeah.
You mean his band? Because he's
band.
A big fucking deal. He played his NYC band. Baby.
Yeah.
Where'd he play, by the way?
Arlene's Grocery.
What?
It's actually like a pretty well-known
what
place.
What borough?
Oh, you don't fucking know, dude.
Well, okay.
Dude, you're asking the wrong questions to the wrong people.
Next one.
And then I went there for work because I had to get a visa for when I went to the Philippines.
Oh, that's right, yeah. See, I've been to New York so many times. Like, for concerts,
well, yeah,
for sporting events,
concerts.
All that kind of shit. And I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan either.
Me and my one friend probably went 10 times a year for different concerts. Ugh. And we'd, you know, Manhattan, Brooklyn, wherever, you know, Times Square has those theaters there that we'd go to. Or, you know, we never went to Staten Island.
If you're from New York City and you absolutely love it, more power to you. It's just not my bag.
No, not mine either. And I mean, I've ripped Philly on this show. New York's better than Philly.
Philly
is an asshole.
Philly's just dirty.
Yeah, I hate Philly. But New York is okay. Like, it's not like we're country bumpkins, but I think after so many years of just like being visitors, I've hit all the major cities. I just don't care for them.
Yeah,
you know, you spend enough time in some of them, it's just like,
yeah. Well, like I said, if that's your bag...
I don't
bag,
like traffic.
If that's your bag, like, good
yeah,
for
yeah.
you.
It's a nice place just, to visit, not a place yeah, I'd want to live. You
exactly.
know? But anyway...
I think we're just used to having more than one room in our house. So.
Well, I always, like, laugh because, like, I knew some people who lived out there. And, like, the apartments are very small
yes.
in a lot of places. And then, like, you see Seinfeld, he's got, like, his bike hanging up.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he's got, like, this big
he's
kitchen.
Got a hallway to a bedroom.
Yeah, I was like, wait, hold on a second.
Oh, well, that's, like, the Friends apartment. Everybody's, like, you realize oh, yeah. they would have paid, like, 10 grand minimum for
oh,
that apartment
like, they
a
did,
month.
They there was this one article I was reading where they were talking about the prices of, like, TV homes and mm-hmm. shit like that. And, like, I've never watched Modern Family. But they're like, oh, where this is located and, like, the open concept. Like, they, like, did this whole thing where, like, that house is just, like, millions of dollars
yeah.
or something like that.
And, like, the dad can't keep a job or whatever on that show,
I think. Have you watched it? All I know is
not
that,
closely enough to know what the dad does for a
living.
Say,
all I know is Al Bundy is
yeah,
a grandpa.
Ed O'Neill,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, from Little Giants.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a precursor, by the way.
Whoop, whoop. So now, anyway, sorry, guys. So they make it to New York City. That on the bridge, there was a lot of cars honking because they were going 2 miles
yeah,
per hour on
the
horse
and
buggy.
Is holding up traffic going into New York.
So now, Pee-wee gets out and, like, Pepper is actually, like, tearing up. And he's just like, good luck, ladies. Do better with your lives. And then he gives other Pee-wee back her knife. And she kisses him on the cheek.
They have a moment where they're like, we're yeah. both Pee-wees.
Yeah. And then they kiss, which again.
Did they kiss?
He's like his dad. Yeah, that's why Pepper started tearing up.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Gave her a
For some
tissue.
Reason, I thought that was on the cheek. Okay.
There was a cheek kiss, and then there was a lip kiss.
You're right,
again,
there was.
He could
that
be
doesn't
her
help
dad.
Him. That doesn't help his case.
I mean, she's legal. She
okay,
is legal.
I guess we're riding with that one. Okay.
But just. So then he starts walking away, and the cops fucking surround the horse and buggy.
They drive running away.
And they're like, I ain't going back to jail. You're not going to get me, coppa.
And it's like, they're on this horse and buggy, and these modern cops pull up with, like, their fucking Crown Vic running around with, like, tasers.
It's fucking ridiculous. So now, okay, so this next sequence, it threw me off, because there's, like, a musical sequence?
Yeah, there's a lot of singing.
Yeah. Yeah, a song about New York, and, like, you just see Pee-wee talking about and visiting all of the big spots of New York City.
Yeah.
And then Joe Manganiello, like, sings these interludes, like, it's birthday day!
Yeah, he comes downstairs, he's like, fuck yeah!
Yeah! He's, like, super pumped. Then we see Pee-wee, he tries the Subway pizza for the first time.
Like Michael Scott.
Yeah.
Sbarro.
Sbarro's. It's my favorite pizza place. He goes to Times Square. He gets in a taxi. He's in Central Park. And then he gets to Joe's apartment at the end of the day.
After we see Manganiello also showering.
Yes,
he sings in the shower.
He selected his outfit for the evening.
His, like, tuxedo.
Yeah. And we see Pee-wee staring at the building, and it's like a red carpet event. There's fucking photogs.
Oh, yeah.
There's limos pulling up. And he backs up. And he falls down an open manhole.
Yeah, a well.
So then we go up to the party, and David Arquette's the fucking DJ.
Oh my god. I ever tell you about the time David Arquette liked a tweet of mine?
No.
This is when I had my anonymous Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, back when I was, like, on Twitter all the time doing tweets and stuff.
Yeah.
And David Arquette, I don't know if you know this. So in 2000, do you remember the wrestling company WCW?
Yes.
He won their title.
What?
In the year 2000, he won their title
okay.
and defended it at a pay-per-view.
Jesus Christ.
And, like, I mean, they played it like, oh, he's like, I don't deserve it. Like, I'm not a wrestler.
Yeah.
Like, one of those things. But, like, he's actually a fan. And he still does, like, independent wrestling shows to this day.
Holy
like,
shit.
And he, like, posted a thing about that. It's like, fuck yeah, David Arquette. Like, I was just like, dude, you're like, you know, you former world champ. You're a better world champ than some other past guys, whatever. And he's like, thanks, man. He liked it. I was like,
oh my God.
This is really 2020 right here, dude. Because, like, there's a picture of him, and he's got, like, this deranged look. He's wearing wrestling tights.
Jesus.
And he's, like, in, like, an armory.
Was he married to Courtney Cox at that time?
Well, last year?
No.
Oh, 2000? I want to say 2000. Yeah, I want to say 2000. They were probably at least dating.
She was making $1 million on Friends, and he was WCW
he was
world
living the
champion.
Dream. He used to do all those fucking... do you remember the 1-800 Collect commercials?
Yes.
He used to be in all of those.
Oh, my God.
And he did Scream. He did...
For our younger fans, 1-800 Collect.
Oh, yeah. You guys, you probably don't know what a Collect call is. But he did Eight-Legged Freaks, fucking Ready to Rumble. That was the one, that was a wrestling movie that tied into why he was wrestling.
Oh my God.
But like 50-year-old David Arquette is like still like on the independent circuits, like in like armories and gyms and shit. Yeah, he's living the dream.
Huh.
I mean, he's got fuck money, you know.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you money, I meant to say, not fuck money. Is he still married to...
No.
Oh, no?
I don't think so.
She's not Courtney Cox or... Cox Arquette. What? I can't fucking talk. I almost said Arnett. Hey, Kev, what's going on? Little Arnett. But...
I still chuckle every time, like, I'm playing a game of mine and Reese's comes up on a fucking...
Sorry.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, guys, what are you going to get your girl for Valentine's Day?
I'm just in a studio in Burbank. Growling into a microphone.
Doing his voice hurts my throat so much.
I wanted to be like him so badly. Like, I almost took up smoking.
Oh my God.
I thought it could get
me. Hey, guys. Yo, him on Arrested Development, though. If you're going to start a new show, Arrested Development, give it a chance.
I already promised somebody, because I'm getting Peacock, that I'm going to watch Psych. So I'm going to watch Psych.
But I just mean for Will Arnett, like, fix. Arrested Development is actually... it's outrageous, but it's actually funny.
That's fine. The thing that blows my mind about Arrested Development is that everybody tells me, they're like, this is your show. This is a show for you. And all my friends watch it and love it. I just never did it. I don't watch
it's
much
all on
TV.
Netflix.
I know, like, we do a podcast here where we watch TV and movies. This is like the only time I watch TV. Like,
you don't have time.
Because a lot of them, as you can tell, like Pee-wee's from our youth, Jurassic Park. You know, we're watching movies that, like, we grew up with and shit.
Yeah.
And The Office when I was in high school and that. But, like, once I became, like, an adult, I stopped kind of watching I watch sports.
Yeah.
For gambling purposes. Because I have a problem.
Jesus.
I don't have a problem.
See, now, like, Arrested
you believe
Development.
I do that.
Arrested Development. I love Jason Bateman. He's, like, the lead.
Yeah.
And then Will Arnett is his brother.
And the bald guy.
And the bald guy
David
is his brother.
Is that David Cross?
I
not
think
David.
So.
Yeah, maybe it is.
That's the brother-in-law.
And
but
the mom.
Portia de Rossi is the sister,
and
Ellen's
the,
wife.
The mom is the lady who voices the lady on Archer. I don't know.
Maybe.
And isn't Tambor on that? The bald guy? The old bald guy? He's, okay.
Yeah.
He was the mayor of Whoville.
I think you really would like it. Like, honestly, I think you should give it a chance after you watch Psych.
I don't like Michael Cera. I think he's in it, right?
He is, but he's, like, little.
Is he, like, inconsequential? Just kick back. That's fun.
Yeah. He's, I mean.
You got nothing much to add to
that?
Yeah, Michael Cera, yeah, whatever.
It's Michael Cera. The man who's perpetually a 12-year-old.
No, but, oh, God, yeah, like, can he grow facial hair?
And, oh, my God, what's her name, isn't it?
And what are we talking about?
No, that's where I know her from. She's not from Spy Kids. I have the wrong person. She's from Arrested Development.
So you just spent an entire podcast here saying she was someone she isn't?
I'm almost positive.
Okay, so Pee-wee in this movie, the female bank robber Pee-wee, is not from Spy Kids. She is from Arrested Development.
I think so.
No, is she like Jason Bateman's daughter?
Niece,
okay. And she's looking it up right now, everybody.
Yep.
This is very...
Sorry, guys.
Very thrilling content to listen to.
Elias Shawkat.
Shawkat?
Shawkat.
Okay, and that's her? Oh, that is her. Look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew I recognized her, but the girl from Spy Kids and her look pretty similar.
Sorry to the girl from Spy Kids that we gave you a lot of pub here.
Sorry about
that. It wasn't you.
Her name is Maybe Funke.
Funke. That's Tobias, right?
Yeah, on Arrested Development.
I've heard about Tobias Funke.
Yeah.
But
anyway,
David Arquette liked a tweet of mine. That's, I think, where we started.
That's where we started. So now we're at the party. Joe is in his tuxedo.
Sulking.
But he's missing Pee-wee, and he refuses to go to the party.
And he's looking at the photo he took of him at the tree.
Oh, my God. He goes out to his balcony, and he's just, like, yells or something. And then we see Pee-wee down in the well lighting the matches that he took from the sales guy. And he's, like, going crazy. He imagines Abraham Lincoln telling him to eat his vegetables.
Eat the Brussels sprouts. He gets, like, angry.
Yeah. Then the Queen of England. Like, every time he lights a match, it's like the little match girl, the really sad Christmas story.
What?
Oh, I won't break your heart with that one. Not on the
air,
at least.
Is this the kid about the shoes, the song?
No, no, no. I'll tell you after the podcast. We're not going to go off on another
tangent. I'm going to get a broken heart.
Yeah, it's actually a really sad, like, Christmas story.
Well, anyway, talk about this.
Every time he lights the match, he sees another thing. He sees the Queen of England appear.
Holy shit.
Yo.
This is...
She multiplies, and then her face, her eyes turn into mouths.
Yeah, like...
Oh, dude. I'm sure you have more detail.
I just say face fuck ups. It's just terrifying. Like her eyes have teeth. Mm-hmm. And then there's like another one where like she has like three mouths or something.
Yeah.
It's like all over the fucking place.
It's like, real fucking weird. And she's like arguing with him about something.
I'm not on schedule.
Like it's weird.
She even says schedule like a British person.
And then the last one, it's Pee-wee himself as the devil saying that
with the horns.
Yeah, his hair goes up into horns. And he says, nobody's going to care that you're missing. Nobody loves you.
Yeah, oh God, it's so true.
Joe's never going to notice you're not there.
It's like what I imagine like Achilles' inner monologue is like.
Oh my God. My baby knows he's loved. So anyway, he starts screaming.
Oh God.
And the news station that was covering Joe's party hears him. So now they're
Thea
doing the story.
Andrews is the reporter. She used to be on ESPN back in the day.
Oh.
Just throwing that out. There's a nugget.
So now they're doing a story on it. And again, Joe refuses to go to his party, but his assistant, who is?
Nicole Sullivan
from
Mad TV and King of Queens. She used to
walk
dogs.
Yep, she comes up and she's like, Joe, everybody's wondering where you are. And now they do show these people at the party. I recognized one of them from something, couldn't tell you what. They're like D-list celebrities.
Yeah, and like apparently Elton John is that.
Yeah. Elton flew from halfway around the world, and Joe's just like, no, Pee-wee's not there.
He's sulking in a tuxedo eating Ruffle chips on his bed. He's on his bed like a girl who got stood up for prom.
It's amazing.
Great.
And then as he's he unmutes the TV again, and he hears the newscaster go, the little boy who's stuck in a well is requesting root beer barrels. And Joe, stands up, and he's like, it's Pee-wee.
Yeah.
He goes over, and he has... like a machine that dispenses bags
those
root
big,
beer barrels.
Those big bubblegum machines with the huge glass globes that hold 100 pounds of them. It's just root beer barrels.
And it individually bags them.
Yeah.
And then he gets a gun and he shoots a...
grappling hook.
Yeah, a line across to Central Park, rides down on it, goes up to the cops and he's like, what's the name of the boy in the well? And he's like, I can't tell you that. Is it Pee-wee? How did you know?
Do you know who that chief of police was?
Yes, he was Mac from Night Court.
That's right. Okay, I didn't know if you were going to be like, that's Hank.
Nope. No.
With a badge, you know?
My God. So now everybody, we see everybody that Pee-wee's met on his adventure seeing the news.
Oh, yeah, like Dan's Diner.
Grizzly Bear Daniels and Simone, Miss King, are in a hot tub in the middle of the woods.
My favorite.
And she's like, Pee-wee!
My favorite. Is in prison. The three girls are wearing Alcatraz, like the black and white, 1940s prisoner outfits. They're using a spoon to dig to the floor.
Dig themselves out. And they're like, hey, touchdown, go turn it off. That's a Buddy Pee-wee.
It's so
fucking ridiculous. Even back in Fairville, the diner, Dan turns on the TV and they see it. So now Joe is standing over the well opening and
shining a flashlight down.
Yes, and he tells Pee-wee that they can't get him out for 2 days because of safety concerns. And the cop says that the well might collapse in on him.
Yeah.
So Pee-wee's crying. He's like, don't look at me. I'm crying like a little baby at the bottom of a well.
I did everything I could do, Joe.
I'm so sorry.
I broke rules and broke hearts.
Yeah, and Joe admits, you know what, Pee-wee, it's okay to cry. I've been crying because you weren't at my party. Then Joe realizes after they say, the well could collapse on him, he goes into his own fanny pack and grabs a giant magnet.
Yeah, well, because
he remembers.
He's like, well, why wasn't this thing, covered up or something?
Yeah.
And Mac from Night Court is like, well, this metal plate should have been on it. And he's like,
metal plate. And so he uses the magnet.
It's like
the
this Looney Tunes magnet.
Out.
It's something that Wile E. Coyote
massive.
Would use.
He pulls Pee-wee out of the well using the plate in his head and this magnet. And Pee-wee's going, my brain! So now he's out. They go to the party. And Joe takes him directly to the roof, not to the party.
Mm-hmm.
Where Joe has a giant miniature world that he built.
Takes up the entire roof.
Dude. He built Pixie Mountain.
Yeah, Glitter Mountain with pixies.
My God.
There's dinosaurs, a volcano with cotton candy.
Yeah, everything you can imagine. And he built a treehouse for Pee-wee.
Oh, yeah.
And Pee-wee then gives, they're crammed into this tiny treehouse.
Like, it goes
it
up to their shoulders.
It looks like they're about to kiss each other.
Yeah, their necks are hunched
over.
Oh,
my God, it looks so painful. And Pee-wee gives Joe his friendship bracelet, and then they have a root beer barrel
with their
little straws in it, and they cheer to friendship. So now we're back in Fairville, and obviously Pee-wee is going to show off to everybody all the things he learned on his trip. He has garnish on the plates, and that's where I finally realized. I was like, that's Bob fucking Vance.
Oh, you didn't know from the beginning? Ah, oh, there's a great biscuit.
He's all I love your biscuits, Pee-wee. And everybody's finding the garnish very confusing.
Because, like, it tastes like an orange.
Yeah. And now, but everybody's really happy that he's back. He gives Dan the solar calculator that's the size of a business card to do his bills with. And he's learning what he's teaching everybody the things he learned on the road.
He's worldly now.
And now he hears a motorcycle outside, and Joe is there. And Joe goes into the second seat on the motorcycle, and Pee-wee gets in the front and drives Joe down the street. And that's how it ends.
What a movie. Now that's a movie.
What an adventure.
I don't even know. Like, I just love that they created this world where, like, certain things are canon. Where, dude, like, people, like, there's, like, these, and I'm going to get it right. And Nick, oh my God. Oh, and Nick, anachronisms.
Okay.
Like, these women who are, like, transported from Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah.
Who dressed like an Alcatraz prison outfit.
Seriously.
Fairville is like 1950s.
Stuck in the 50s. Yeah, like Pleasantville.
And then like Manganiello is this giant man-child.
Yeah.
It's like so, like when you look at him, you see this brutish guy. And then he does this role and you're just like, oh, this is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just hilarious.
It's fucking insanity,
and
dude.
And Pee-wee hasn't lost the touch. It's
no.
And you know, the thing is, like, you know, I didn't think about it until like after it was over. I was like, you know, there's, like, some suggestions in there, like strippers and the pillow fight and that.
Yeah.
But, like, there's no raunch, there's no cursing, there's no sex, like,
nothing.
It's just fun.
Yeah.
It's just silly. It's just goofy shit. And
it really
I fucking
is.
Loved it. I like I said, I would say anybody should watch this movie. I think you'll have a lot of fun. But if you don't like Pee-wee, I think you'll know if you like it or not in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, by the time he gets to the breakfast bar, you'll know whether or not it's for you.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I loved it.
It was an adventure.
Yes.
I mean, I really enjoyed it. Again, there were a couple parts that I was just like, all right, this...
So the balloon, like, and the waiver.
The balloon
waiver.
And the what?
The waiver, the death waiver, where he signed his initials.
Those were a little bit too prolonged.
They pushed it.
But other than that, like, it was really fun. I loved the bank robbers. I loved all the daughters.
the farmer.
The farmer and his daughters were fucking fantastic.
They just want to cuddle.
I'm Louise. I'm perky and happy. Like,
shit was great.
What the fuck?
So.
Yeah, that was... I mean, there's really not much
not
else
much
we
else
can
to
talk.
Add to that. It's just fun shit.
Yeah, it was
so,
just fun.
It's my turn now.
It is your turn.
So I kind of alluded to it earlier, but the movie that I'm picking for next week is Little Giants, starring the great Rick Moranis and
Ed
O'Neill, and some children, and Devin Sawa.
Spike, no play with girls.
Yeah, and oh, the fuck, that guy.
That
guy.
Oh,
I cannot wait to get to that guy. So that'll be next week's movie. That's gonna. It's a kid's movie, but it's like fun.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a good time.
I think so,
and,
too.
Because it was between that and another movie, but it's more serious. And I was like, you know, let's keep on this.
Oh, yeah. After Pee-wee, you can't follow that up with like a melodrama.
Yeah, as we're doing Pee-wee, I was like, you know, I'll save that one for later. But so that'll be next week. But until then, guys, Mary, where can they find us?
You can find us on Twitter at Brosis Podcast, or you can reach us via email at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
And you can find the podcast on any podcatching app that you use, whether that be Podbean, Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to cast, you will find us. And also subscribe to the Jenny Position feed. Each and every week you will get new content such as us, Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Driving, and so many more on the Jenny Position podcast feed. So go subscribe and listen to what Jenny Smith and friends are coming up to, because it's all good. And that'll do it for this week. So next week we'll be back with Little Giants. And until then, everybody, we'll catch you on down the road.
Thanks, guys.